Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
The responsorial psalm tonight was, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts," right? And so it is our hope, it is our prayer that we can hear the voice of God and that the voice of God penetrate into our hearts. Now, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the muscle that beats in our chest. We're talking about our soul. We're talking about this voice of God going into our spirit. You know, we are not just a body. We are a composite being. We are body and soul together. And someday, our body will die. But we will not cease to exist. It's just that our body and our soul are separated. And now we're waiting for our resurrection. And the body will be resurrected on the last day. And the body and the soul will be joined because that's who we are. We are a composite being, body and soul. And so we are asked today by the psalm, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let your soul reject the word of God, but let the word of God penetrate even into your soul, into your spirit. We are spiritual beings. Today's gospel, we hear about a man tormented by an unclean spirit. Something had infected his soul, his spirit. A man tormented by an unclean spirit, and this unclean spirit causes him to do uncontrollable outbursts, things kind of off the wall, and they see that he's possessed by an unclean heart. At first glance, it seems like we're entering a strange world far removed from here and now. Nonetheless, maybe when we think about it, it's not so far removed after all. Don't we read in the newspaper or on the internet or see on the television or even experience in our own lives people who act in some inexplicable way? They do something off the wall, almost unimaginable. Just this week, another school shooting. Just this week, another school shooting. A few years ago, I remember seeing a program or seeing a news clip about a woman that drove her car into a lake and drowned her children because she was afraid that her boyfriend would break up with her because she had children. Closer to home, we know people who appear quite ordinary, yet who are gripped by some self-destructive addiction, fits of anger, irrational thinking. Most of us, most everybody in here at some point in our lives, we may not identify it as an unclean spirit, but we found ourselves in the thrall of some power or some thought or some idea or even a behavior which seems beyond our control. This is not that uncommon. People, even with great mental abilities, incredible intellects, find themselves doing something out of an irrational compulsion. I'll tell you an example of one of the greatest geniuses of the modern era, the Russian novelist. I've mentioned him a few weeks ago, Dostoevsky. He is known as the master of the human heart, or the master of the human soul, because he wrote these novels and these books that really penetrated into what goes on in our minds and in our hearts and why people behave the way they do sometimes. But he could see into people's lives, but he himself had great difficulty mastering his own emotions, controlling his own behavior. He had a demon, if you will, that afflicted him. And that was a gambling addiction. This addiction began one day when he placed the money on a roulette table and he won. And in that moment he thought, my financial problems are over. But he kept playing and he wound up losing everything. In desperation, he pawned his ring. He pawned his watch. He lived in Russia. It's cold in Russia. He pawned his coat. Afterwards, he felt miserable, not just because he lost those things, but because of the way he acted in a frenzy, irrationally, stupidly, recklessly. He resolved never again. To his wife, he swore never again. It was a promise that he would break. It was a promise that would make him a liar over and over. This didn't just jeopardize his well-being for a few weeks. It was a pattern that went on for years. Then one day he scraped together enough money, equaling maybe a few $100s. He carefully calculated, I'll risk this much and I'll save this much. And he went to the casino thinking in his crazy mind that he was going to win back what he had lost. Did he win back what he had lost? He lost it all. He lost it all. He was a Russian Orthodox. He believed in God, and later in his life, God became a central part of his novels and his understanding of humanity. But at that point in his life, God was just something he knew about. He came out of that casino and resolved himself to go make a confession. And he went looking for a church. And he thought he saw a church, and he went to go into the church looking for a Russian priest. And lo and behold, it wasn't a church, it was a synagogue. And so he stood there grasping for God, thinking of his remorse. And he said, standing there, it wasn't raining, it was dry out. Standing there, he said he felt like a bucket of cold water had been poured over him and went from his head all the way down his feet, and something left him. He never gambled again. Never again. What happened to Dostoevsky? What left him? I can't say. We marvel, like the people in Capernaum. What is this? A new teaching with authority. Jesus can liberate you and me. Jesus is calling us not to imprison us, but to free us. I tell people something. This is a regular part of, if someone wants to come see me and talk to me about their spiritual lives, this would be something that eventually would come up. That, the devil is real, and evil spirits are real. These are realities. They're on every page of the gospel. But the devil doesn't have any power over you that you don't give him. The devil cannot control us unless we let him into our hearts. Now, of course, like we look at the crucifix and we see Jesus is crucified by evil forces. But his body will be raised. So don't be afraid of those who can hurt your body. Be afraid of those who can get into your heart and destroy your heart. And that is the voice and the lies of Satan. And so I say to you, if today you hear the voice of God, open your heart and let God into your heart. And when you let God into your heart, somebody else has got to go from your heart. We heard about, and I set you up for this at the beginning of Mass and said you're going to hear about the prophet in the Old Testament reading. A prophet like me, the Lord will raise up. What is a prophet first and foremost? A prophet is someone who tells the truth. That's what a prophet is. A prophet can see into the future by looking at what is true. A prophet, a teller of the truth, and Jesus is the truth. And faith is giving ourselves over to the truth. Faith is believing the truth. Faith is recognizing the truth. Faith is living the truth. Satan is a liar. And when we let lies into our heart, who are we letting into our heart? When we let lies shape our worldview and our understanding of ourselves, lies can be funny. Lies can sound true. Lies can be half true and half false. That's probably the worst kind of lie. As I was putting together this homily, I looked a few things up and I came across a quote from Ernest Hemingway. And I'm kind of a fan of Ernest Hemingway. A very talented, incredibly intelligent, and gifted author. But he wrote this line. And I quote, "An intelligent man is sometimes forced to be drunk to spend time with fools." Yeah, I laughed too when I read it, okay? But you know, it's not true. It's a lie. Now, it's got a little grain of truth in it, right? Because maybe a glass of wine does make it easier to put up with people that you don't feel like talking to. That's true, okay? But you can see the lie in it. Because the devil says, oh, you're an intelligent person. Oh, you're wise. You can't put up with these fools. You have to get drunk. And drunkenness is always a sin. Always. And so Ernest Hemingway, brilliant as he was, died an alcoholic of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. We cannot allow ourselves to be drawn into lies. Of course, the worst lies are lies that are half true. The devil and the demons are the foremost of liars. To believe a lie, to open ourselves to the power of the devil. If today you hear the voice of God, open your heart and let the voice of God into you. It's a transforming power. To know that the evil spirits lie and they tell half-truths, the most dangerous kind of lie. He lies in degrees. He lies to get us to doubt. He lies by calling God a liar. He lies by calling good evil and evil good. Almost every sin that we will ever commit has a component of a lie to it. I'll steal because I deserve to have this more than he has. Or he does. I'll use God's name in vain because there's nothing special about his name. I'll sin sexually because it's my body. It has been purchased, as I have said. My brothers and sisters, we have to come to a hatred of lies. To hate lies. Do you have a hatred of lies in your life? To hate the liar, to hate lies, and to love the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Jesus does not teach error. He does not teach lies. The church upholds the truth. And we have to come to be able to see the truth. And you know, the truth is like a symphony. You know, in a symphony, you have all of those different instruments, right? You have the woodwinds, and you have the percussion, and you have the brass, and you have the strings, and you have all of the musicians playing along, right? And they're all playing some beautiful song from Beethoven, and then there's guy over there playing "The Devil Went Down to Georgia," right? You'll say, something's wrong with this symphony, right? Someone is out of tune here. Well, that's how lies are. When we begin to see the world as a unified understanding, then lies will begin to stick out. And so, my brothers and sisters, today, as we hear Jesus cast out this evil spirit, and we hear about a prophet being raised up, Jesus is the prophet. And what does a prophet do before anything else? He speaks the truth. And we have to be able to hear the truth. Going back to our gospel now, what was the first thing Jesus said to the demon? Anybody remember what it was? The first words he said to the demon were, "Be quiet." We might say, "Shut up." And then he said, "Be gone," essentially. So sometimes we have to turn down some. Are there any lies in the world? Are there any lies out there that are trying to distract you and confuse you and undermine your sense of yourself? They're everywhere. And so we have to turn them off and hear the voice of God. And if today you hear his voice, what? Harden not your heart. Let him into your soul. And when Jesus enters into our heart, into our soul, the devil has no room to be in there. So Jesus comes to cast out the power of Satan. He is the prophet who is to come. He speaks the truth. May we love the truth and live the truth and tell the truth and be able to recognize the truth when we hear it.